You are now listening to a member of the Disney Podcast family. Head over to Disney Podcast Family on Instagram to see all the latest posts for this show and links to other great Disney podcasts.
There was an idea. The idea was to bring together a group of remarkable people, see if they could become something more.
I have an army.
We have a Hulk.
This is the Marvel Tribe, brought to you by Walt's Apartment Podcast and the Diz Insider.
Avengers!
Assemble.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Marvel Tribe. We are a group of excited and passionate individuals who have come together to share our love of all things Marvel. We are brought to you by Walt's Apartment Podcast and thedizinsider.com. We are joined tonight by David, Lewis, and Sam. From the big screen to the small print, feel the pulse in your chest so you know you're alive. One team, one love.
It's the Marvel Tribe.
Why are you laughing at me?
I'm not laughing at you. You're a very strong personality, but when you did the intro, it was a very meek, very kind of.
Oh, do you want me to? You want me to like?
Like put some bass in your.
All right.
Bring your Captain Marvel game. Like,
fine.
Do it.
All right.
Let us know the Sam that we all know, the feisty, like, I ain't backing down for shit. All right. Namor is better than Scarlet, Witch kind of.
All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Marvel Tribe. We are a group of excited and passionate individuals who have come together to share our love of all things Marvel. We are brought to you by Walt's Apartment Podcast and thedizinsider.com. Tonight, you are joined with us by Lewis and David and me, Sam. Hi. From the big screen to the small print, feel the pulse in your chest so you know you're alive. One team, one love.
It's the Marvel Tribe.
Marvel Tribe.
Hella better. Yes. Okay. There's some excitement there. Hi, it's Marvel Tribe. Yeah, I love it. It's exciting.
It sounds like when you said that, it sounded like Charlie the Unicorn.
I don't know that Candy Mountain, Charlie.
You don't know that one?
I don't know that.
Oh, I'll have to send it to you later.
That's not a my generational thing. That's okay. You youngins.
So what are we talking about tonight on the tribe?
So, there's some light news because all the news right now is kind of surrounding the Ant-Man, Quantumania, the kickoff for the Phase 5 here. We're just basically we got some light news. We're going to kind of talk about our opinions about. And then we got a game to play here. And I have to say, Lewis introduced a twist to the game, which we didn't prepare for this time around. It's our 2 degrees of separation from Marvel, which we'll do in the future. We'll do his twist because it adds a little bit more flavor to this game. But yeah, how are you guys doing this week? What's new with you guys?
Just living life.
Living life,
in the fast lane.
I'm doing good, trying to stay warm out here. It's freezing.
I know.
Sir, we have snow on the ground. It was 19 degrees today.
But there's that degree when it's like wet and cold, and then snow. I feel like snow is cold, but it's like bearable. But when it's like raining and windy, that cold just beats out snow.
Yep. It's a working cold versus it's just there cold. Like you can look out your window and like, okay, there's snow. You know it's cold. You prepared for it. But when you go out, like in the West Coast, cold is like, it surprises you. Like Dave Chappelle, like, gotcha, the B word and stuff. Like, it's surprising. It catches you off guard, and it's windy, and it's freezing, and it's like it's miserable. Cold on the West Coast is working cold. It's relaxing over there where you are, Sam.
It's almost like a hot day with no breeze or a hot day with a breeze. Like, there's just a huge difference. They're both days are hot. The breeze is just killer.
Yep.
So West Coast, I like a breeze on hot days.
So do I. When there's no breeze and it's just hot, that's miserable.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I was a little confused for a second.
Yeah, I got that backwards. I got that backwards.
My bad.
Okay, but this is not a weather show. So let's get into some Marvel news. What's the first article we have, David?
All right. So the first article is, you know, we have Marvel producers dropping two X-Men's name when they're talking about X-Men joining the Marvel Universe, the MCU. And they talked about a couple X-Men that we may see first that, you know, that we all kind of know that is absolutely a part of the X-Men. So hold on, let me grab the article pulled up here. So the first name dropped here we got, which we kind of called it from Wakanda Forever, is Storm. So we may be seeing Storm, and we also may see Bishop. So we don't know where and how that introduction will come about. We fan theory that, you know, when we talked about Wakanda Forever, we thought it'd be kind of cool to redo Storm's origin. She's not from Egypt. Maybe she's from Haiti, where, you know, Prince T'Challa is being raised right now. And we do know in the comic book,
that gives me chills
still. You know, we know in the comic book that they do meet and they fall in love, and different, you know, they meet in Egypt, and, you know, she was a master thief, so they can change. I mean, they've done it before. They've changed the origin story. But for me, this is one that makes so much sense to have Storm being Haitian. It just, and it's, I mean, the AO is a tropical island that is also going through its own kind of oil and everything else. So it's in need. It's an island that's definitely in need of a superhero. And its biggest villain, on top of, you know, colonialism, just kind of apartheid government, kind of trying to, you know, coming in and taking it is Mother Nature. You know, they are hurt right smack dab in the middle of hurricanes and everything else. So I was like, yes, Storm can be born in that chaos and be the perfect, you know, hero. You know, that I would change the origin story for that. So yeah. What's your guys'?
I was going to say, I really love that, but not to take it back to Namor, but like when we saw, like, Namor was a mutant, right? We saw how he became a mutant.
Yes.
And I can see, like, the geographic locations aren't that close, but they're close, and the islands are similar makeup.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see that, you know, some of that could pour over because we need that mutant gene to be created, and that mutant gene came in a different way than we expected it to.
Correct. So. And I think introducing Storm would also help explain more of the origin of the mutant gene and stuff, because it has to, we're seeing, like you said, Namor obviously is a mutant. We're seeing that Miss Marvel is also a mutant. They hint on it. I'm glad they didn't follow through with the boy genius, her friend, figuring out, like, oh, like that revealing all mutants and stuff would be kind of like, really, he's a high school kid, just kind of. So, but he added to the mystery to it. So introducing an actual X-Men character and giving more of a reveal as to how she got her mutant power, that gene, like, where was it, something that was hidden, and the incursion from internals helped trigger that, or Thanos or something helped activate that gene, kind of how, like, we saw with WandaVision with Monica Rambeau when Scarlet Witch threw her through her magic, her, you know, the force field that, you know, that she created for her little her little town and stuff, that may have triggered and activated her hex triggered some latent, you know, mutant thing inside of Monica. We're guessing that they didn't really confirm that's what caused her to have her powers and stuff, but I think introducing the X-Men to solve that mystery would be great.
Have to, because that's the way to explain it, is the X-Factor. Like, it's a latent, dormant gene.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as they're going to go the same way that they have gone in the comics.
Absolutely.
So it, there's got to be something that triggers that. And like, obviously with Wakanda Forever, we saw like Namor was the one who didn't get sick and die. So there was something there in him, obviously. Mm-hmm. Right. So
I like that Storm would be the first, one of the first ones to be introduced, because Storm in the Fox X-Men's were really, she was a solid character, but didn't get that much screen time or enough justice to the character. And then when they brought her back in the new X-Men, but not new X-Men, another solid actor, another solid character, but never gave the character enough screen time or credit to what the character can do. So I'm really excited that they're starting off with Storm, if that becomes true, because you don't want to sit there and shove down our throat all the X-Men that we're used to, Wolverine, yeah, all that. Yeah. No, slowly build into that. One sec, guys.
No problem. That was our intern there. No problem.
Unpaid intern.
Yes, unpaid intern. So, yeah, no, I agree. We don't want to shove X-Men down the throat, because it actually hijacks the entire MCU experience, because we do know X-Men is a big juggernaut of Marvel comic books, and it really can, if you don't do it right, it can be overwhelming and too much. So to introduce them slowly and kind of build this piece, I mean, I'll be honest, I don't want to see a big X-Men presence until we start getting into the next phase, until after Kang Dynasty, and which could be eight years from now and stuff, and then they can relook and kind of retool and this kind of a lead into our next story about superhero fatigue. But then we can kind of start messing with some rebooting and some kind of those very popular versions that we like. But I like where MCU is now. I like where it's going, and it's gotten this far without overabundance of just X-Men characters and stuff. So I'm glad we got all these toys in our toy box now, but let's not overwhelm everybody and throw them all in there. So
I agree. Go ahead, David. All right, Lewis.
And it's working, because you got, like, for instance, Moon Knight, mm-hmm. nobody knew. I mean, I don't want to say nobody, but the general fan base, and that's where I'm speaking off of, because I know a good amount about comics, but not enough. But the films has really been a thicker introduction for me. And Moon Knight was something that really, like, that's my favorite show on Disney Plus still right now. And I feel like right now, Marvel and Disney have an opportunity to really sink their teeth into something that's bigger than the MCU itself, because now they have a full catalog. I mean, you can go back to Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man or Captain America. Those weren't your key characters, but they made them your key characters. And now they need to slowly do that. And you're seeing that. Moon Knight, She-Hulk, Miss Marvel. You're seeing those characters slowly work their way up. And with a platform like Disney Plus, I think they could really do those characters justice and then bring them to the big screen.
And don't forget special presentations. That's a hit. This is one-off self-contained Marvel characters. Werewolf by Night is not really connected to the MCU. It is just a special presentation that they actually built out. And there are so many characters. I would love to see the Midnight Suns special presentation. They can do a limited series of just the Midnight Suns or some other things, special presentation. I wasn't sure how to feel about that, because I was like, there's going to be too many people who are going to be like, oh, looking for the connection, like looking for – no, they built this as its own self, contained thing. It's within, what you call the diaspora of the Marvel universe, but it's not jointly connected to any of the storylines we're currently looking at and stuff. So it's a whole separate story just that happens to exist. So I love that they introduce special presentations. I think they should do more of that with some of these other obscure characters and stuff too.
I agree. I definitely want there to be a slower burn too, because that is what keeps us coming back for more.
Yeah.
So they're feeding us these little tidbits, and they're like teasing these characters, and then we're not getting those characters, and then we're getting other characters. But as far as I know we're going to go into it, but the superhero fatigue, like, you have time. You have time. There is no reason to rush it. And I want the backstories. I want the little details that lead up to the coming into the powers. I don't just want, hey, like, I got bit by a spider and now I'm I'm Spider-Man. Like, no, I'm a superhero. I want the stories. I want the spinoff series of how it is to, like, deal with your powers when they're coming in. I want, like we got with Miss Marvel. And I want the angst and the turmoil of your powers are literally ruining your life that we got in WandaVision. They just need to take their time and give us complete cohesive pieces and not just make it like, oh, superhero life is great, because no.
Yep.
No.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, just like what Sam said, it's imagine, okay, what she basically described was watch Superman and don't follow anything that they do with Superman. Because that's it. That's the whole thing. Superman was, and this is me crapping on DC, but just because I think Superman's an overbloated character, but he had no death. He didn't. Like, we thought he had these, he has these powers, and they're the coolest thing in the world. They didn't show his struggle with them. They didn't show like any of the instability at home, like really all that, like, stuff you'll see with Spider-Man, stuff you'll see with, you know, even Tony Stark, who is this billionaire, you know, playboy guy, dude couldn't really have a real relationship. He, you know, they didn't really go into the alcoholism piece of it and stuff. But, you know, they talked about some dark things. I was like, oh, maybe I don't want to be Tony Stark. But Superman was like, oh my God, he can fly and he can't. It was the number one power that all kids wanted because it was simple. There was no struggle. It's like, man, I can fly. I can shoot lasers with my eyes. There's no depth to the character and stuff. Now, since they've had, there's, you know, there's all different iterations of Superman, and they've, you know, I'm not going to lie, I think they took in some pages from Marvel to do that, but yeah.
Tough guess.
Yeah, okay. It is what it is. But this is what Marvel does very well. They like the backstory. You know, it's fine to just introduce someone with a cool power, but it's even better when you can give, you know, reveal some of that mystery and of who that person is and connect that human being with, you know, like, I still, to this day, watching, when I first saw the cameo with Tony Stark walking into Spider-Man after he figured out who Spider-Man was and looked at his computer and was like, oh, that's an old blah, 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 you know, like, you're into the classics. And he was like, no, I found it in the garbage can, and it worked. It's like, yeah, I actually did that. I actually found a computer on the curb that someone threw away and stuff. I was like, so those little tiny little relatable pieces and stuff is what kind of makes Marvel. It's a nice seasoning that Marvel is really good at doing. So,
and yeah, and they do that well with the Disney Plus. Miss Marvel. I mean, we were talking about the first episode when they had the Avenger Con, like how relatable that was. And I think Disney Plus, I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of how much they sink into it, but for Marvel, that is a tool. Like, imagine, now, I don't know what your guys' views are on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I thought it was hit and miss for me on certain episodes, but imagine if they took that premise and did, like, a Professor X TV show where you're introducing the mutants and stuff like that in the TV show, and then almost like a draft pick for football. You know what? We really like that character. Let's see them on the big screen now. And just utilize that, you know, like a Days of Our Lives, but Professor X, where it just goes on forever.
Nice.
Oh, my gosh. What? Speaking of, if they wanted to do, you know, something else with Grant Ward, I would volunteer to be his romance interest on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I don't care if he's evil.
You'll be Cusper number three in the show. So I've never been I wasn't a big fan of the show. I'm never really a big fan of spinoff shows that are loosely connected to what's on the movie. I didn't like when they tried it with Star Wars. I just didn't, for me, it never resonated with me. Because I always thought in my head, like, why can't you get the original? Like, yes, we got Coulson, we got Phil Coulson, but why can't you get like some of the more original people who are in the movies and stuff like that and build that arc? And then Disney Plus said, hey, I have an idea. Let's take the people that we have on the big screen to help build that arc for our television style content and stuff. And I was like, yes, finally, this. And then I can connect, and it just made sense. It wasn't like a generic off-brand kind of version. No offense to those who love Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. and stuff. It just wasn't my bag. So
I felt like each season felt like it was a different recipe. First season was okay. And then every time I went back into a new season, it was like they were reestablishing something new. But then again, though, I mean, we were kind of talking about the superhero fatigue a little bit. I think it's things like that, these quick to the big screen, quick to TV shows, quick to not let us really dwell on it, that causes that fatigue. You sit there and you see something that gets thrown on the big screen or on Disney Plus now that's like, hey, that was cool, but you did that way too fast. And that, we've talked about it before, the shows. You get to the first three episodes where they started sinking their teeth into it. It's like, all right. And then after the episode three or four, it just kind of dies out. So I think letting it burn and letting it grow on us is what's going to kind of help, ironically, help fight the superhero fatigue that's going around.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So let's talk about superhero fatigue, because, you know, Marvel's been around for, God, I was about to say 22 years, but that's not right. Iron Man came out in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Holy moly. Okay. So we're over a decade. It's 2023 now. We have dozens and dozens of Marvel content and shows and properties and movies out there. Superheroes is the thing. So much so that even other actors are coming out because some people aren't really feeling this vibe. They really want more of the art back into movies, and they don't consider this. They think this is an anomaly, and I'm like, you don't get to exist over a decade in the social conscious of our generations and stuff and just be called like a fad. They're here to stay. But it was asked. It was asked of, you know, the powers to be, Mr. Kevin Feige and stuff, about superhero fatigue's concerns and stuff. And his response was pretty poignant. This is why he created phases for his story arcs and stuff. You know, he has an idea, and he wanted to show the audience that it was going to be kind of peppered throughout a series of different shows and stuff, and it's going to come to a climax. And then they're going to reset and do another phase, and they're going to piecemeal things out and stuff in that way. So because he said, you know, with Disney, they have the power. They can just dump all the content they want. You know, and that, but that's not a good recipe and stuff. And people will get over, you know, exposed and super and fatigued and everything else and stuff. But doing it in this kind of phase piece and being able to pivot, that's the other thing. He said, you know, there's a lot of movies, shows, and things that they were able to just kind of pivot based on fans' responses and stuff. And that helped them even further, you know, move the needle and move and keep things fresh and stuff. So with that, I think Marvel is pretty good about combating. Actually, Marvel as a whole is the single thing that is actually combating superhero fatigue. Because if I remove Marvel from the equation, I'm not going to lie, I think people would have gotten tired of the start and restarts of the DC stuff. And again, I'm not trying to hate on DC. I do love some of their properties and stuff. I enjoyed some of their movies. Some of them I didn't think was really good. But and I felt the frustrations of the fans about some of these starts and restarts. And they made it very visible. Like it's almost it was more about the actors playing these roles and being replaced in these roles and the contracts and everything else versus actually talking about the characters, about Batman and what's the new version of Ben Affleck's Batman versus, it was really about, Ben Affleck and his role, and he's all big and buff, and he's going to, with Harry Conville and everything else, and then they're going to start and restart, and then Ezra Miller, who is weird. I mean, God, I don't know how you stake your franchise with that kid, but yeah, it became this weird thing where people started talking about the real actors, not the characters, and then they would just reset. Like, well, okay, we're going to get the Twilight kid to play Batman, but we're not going to tie it to the universe, but we're going to, it just kind of, you get that stuff gets tiring and that stuff gets old. And so if we did not have Marvel movies, I guarantee people have been over. There's no way DC be making the billions of dollars that they would be making. I mean, Marvel kicked that door open and stuff. That's just my opinion and stuff. The fatigue would have set in. But we do have Marvel, and they exist in this universe, and they are really building out and testing these new recipes and stuff. I mean, She-Hulk, not a lot of people like She-Hulk. And that's fine. I thought, for me, I grew up, my mom was a huge Ally McBeal fan.
It was wonderful the way they broke down the fourth wall.
Yes. So I liked it because for that. For me, there's that nostalgia piece. It was comedy. It was weird. It was something new and it was something different and stuff. And it was just a little bit of comic relief, even though it wasn't as funny as it could have been. It really could have been a pretty really well-received show, but it just wasn't as funny. And then other people had their own reasons for not liking it and stuff, but it was something new. It was something different, and Marvel tried it. And I loved it, and it kept people talking, and it kept the conversation going. And look, even the people who were saying, Marvel, Jay jumped the shark. They're never going to get any more of my money and stuff like that. And then guess what? We got Wakanda Forever come out, boom, blockbuster. We're back into the billionaire category. We got Ant-Man Quantumania coming out. Even before it comes out, we already know it's going to be a billion-dollar banger and stuff. So that fatigue or that I don't really want to mess with Marvel anymore because of they've gone woke or they've gone this and that. That's just background noise. It's none of it holds up. It's not being reflective in the box office numbers and stuff. So, I went on a tangent there. I apologize. We started with woke and I went on to the whole,
You brought up some good points, though. I mean,
yeah, you did.
Marvel's also being smart about it. I mean, you think about it. 5 years ago, everyone was getting confused because you'd see the Marvel logo pop up on the big screen. But you have those that were watching it and just saw Marvel Studios pop up. Then you had those that were watching it and saw that these are two different Marvel Studios intros. One is the Kevin Feige Disney Marvel collaboration intro, and then some was the Sony in collaboration with Marvel intro. So then there's that almost like lack of education from the common fan that says, hey, here we have four Marvel movies coming out. Yes, but that's because three different production companies are making them. Yes. So Marvel is being smart by trying to bring this all in because ultimately they understand that. They understand that you can only have so many Marvel films out there before natural fatigue is going to happen. But the thing with it, too, is you're not seeing the drama behind the scenes in the movie. You watch a DC movie, again, not trying to bash them either, but you could see the drama on the movie. You see, why is there three different Batmans? Why are you making another Batman movie within 4 years of the Dark Knight series? We're not going to see another Iron Man series for a while, if we even do. So Marvel's just being really smart with it. I think the TV shows are very helpful. The TV shows are their testing pilots.
Whether it's She-Hulk, the things they use to tease and see, like, what will we jump at?
Exactly. I mean, She-Hulk, they dropped a couple big things. I mean, they dropped Hulk's son, which we were predicting that previously before the show came out. They were testing the fourth wall. Me, I liked it up until the season finale, but many people didn't. Moon Knight, that's a character like Werewolf by Night that, hey, we're going to test the waters with these guys. We're not going to attach them to the MCU just yet, but we're going to see what everyone thinks. And I think Marvel is just being smart with it But also, I think a lot of the fatigue comes from the common fan, because right now, that's the cool thing to do, is to not like superhero movies. It's easy to say, I don't like superhero movies, because no one's going to judge you for it. But if you say you like superhero movies, oh, you're a sellout. That's what you're doing. That's all it is. But again, the dollars are showing people want to see these.
Yep, absolutely. So, and Kevin Feige, he was quoted saying, you know, because he started out with the comparison about, you know, not really understanding when his second year at Marvel. So he'd been in Marvel Studios for 22 years. And second year, people were asking, you know, how long is this, you know, this is going to last? You know, is this a fad like the comic book movies? You know, when is it going to end? And he's like, I really didn't understand that question, because to me, it was akin to asking after Gone with the Wind, how many more movies can be made off of novels and stuff? And, you know, like, do you think the audience will sour on movies being adapted from books? And that, and for me, that was a, that's a very fair comparison, because Kevin Feige went on to say, you know, that there are 80 years of the most interesting, emotional, groundbreaking stories that's ever been told in Marvel Comics. And we barely scratched the surface with these stories and stuff. So, yeah, so there's something, I think his, one of his key formulas is there's something for everybody. There's a little bit something for everybody. And then some people actually discover that they like stuff that they didn't even think that was catered towards them. So, yeah, I think Marvel knows what they're doing when it comes to the movie fatigue stuff. It's not, I don't see it coming anytime soon. So,
yeah. And one thing you mentioned, though, too, I do wish that Marvel would have some type of closure to some stories, because mm-hmm. You jump in now, and you really got to still go back a few films, depending on where you're jumping in at, to play catch up. So I do wish when the Infinity Saga, what they were calling it, when that ended, there was kind of a more clearer break. I wish we'd went to like the Kang Dynasty Phase 1, just start the phases like a different layer. Because when you hear Phase 4, you think that's part 4. So I could see where some people are like, I got to go back 20 years to watch films to catch up. I wish the Infinity Saga and the Kang Dynasty Saga, which they're trying to do, I wish there was a little bit more buffering saying, hey, that door closed and this door's opening. But overall, it's not as bad as people are making it sound. Of course, we are going to get Adam Warlock in Guardians 3, and it's been a minute since we talked about that. So, I mean, there is a little bit of, I have to go back and watch, but overall, cinematically, they're still doing great movies, and I don't understand the whole fatigue question that people came up with so much.
I agree 100%. In fact, I think what you're describing is what Star Wars is trying is going to starting to try out. They're trying to end that episode saga that follows the Skywalker trend. It's like this universe is so much more vast. We can completely close one story and open, starting a brand new chapter one and a whole other new story in this universe and stuff, and tell different stories and stuff. So I get that, and I think Star Wars is going to experiment with that, and we'll see, because you know there's always going to be your diehard fans who are always looking for those connections. They don't like, most of them don't like disconnects. They like, this is not a Star Wars movie, or this is not a Marvel. There's no connection. There's no nothing. I was looking for, I mean, there was a tree branch that looked like Groot in the background, and that was the only connection they can find. So yeah, I agree. I think it would be interesting to do that, to close off that entire Infinity Saga, and then start a new, like, Phase One, the Kang Dynasty and stuff, kind of like you have a new book. It's a new Harry Potter book and stuff. It's in a series, but maybe that's a bad scenario too, because I mean, the inside of the books, like the Goblet of Fire, there's chapter one, chapter, you know, until the end of that book and stuff, but they are all part of the same universe. So yeah, no, Harry Potter is a good analogy. I'm gonna stop talking. I'm not a fan of Harry Potter, so I use Harry Potter as an analogy in my point.
It hurts your heart.
A little bit.
Do you think, I mean, speaking of other films, though, do you think Marvel can create some type of, how Star Wars has that, like, crawl to, like, catch you up? what if like the Marvel intro was like a comic book style for like a minute or two, just to kind of throw some key pointers at you, just so then any average person that's going to the movies can watch the movie, see the little flip book comic style art for the first 60 seconds of the movie. Oh. Like, boom, I'm caught up. I could watch this no problem because they gave me all the key pieces I need to know to watch this movie. And for us diehard fans, we may just watch it as refreshers, almost like a TV show previously on, and then they just do like a cool comic book art, and then boom, here you go, you're in the movie.
So I'll tell you what, this is why I like Lewis's brain, because when he was describing what he was just describing, I instantly started thinking about how Pixar does those little animated shorts in the beginning and stuff, just to give you a kind of a little wet your beak and stuff of what's coming. You get to see the newer technology that they're using and stuff. Like it's when you watch those Pixar animated shorts, the shorts, you can see from the original Toy Story how kind of, and I'm not saying crude as in like bad, but newer that the tech was, and you got saw it in the short, and then you see it in the movie, and then to the more advanced, like really detailed and stuff like that. And some of these shorts, like man, like they should win awards type level and stuff. And so I'm not dissing Pixar. I like when you were describing what you're describing, I was picturing like those little mini shorts and the using comic panels. That would be great. Oh, that ties in comic books and everything else and stuff. So I think that would be interesting. So
that would be a great way to keep breaking down the fourth wall too.
It does, yes. Mm-hmm. You're bringing the audience in.
You can literally see that. Like I can see them sitting at a table and they're like planning out the short or whatever with comic book strips.
And have Deadpool narrate it.
People would watch it. All diehard Marvel fans stay for the 30-minute end credits just to watch a 60-second credit. So I'm sure no Marvel fans are going to be upset that, hey, we have to take 60 seconds to recap what we may have missed. But it makes sense. I mean, they do that in the books and they do that in comics anyway. Why not adapt that to the big screen?
Money. I don't know. It's lack of ideas. You should really submit an application to work for Marvel, because I actually think that's a really solid idea. I think it's fun. You get newer people involved. And I mean, I can't tell you how many Marvel movies I brought a new person to that I was the recap. I'm sitting there before things are starting kind of, you know, guessing as to what this movie is about to kind of show or what it may show. And I'm going off of comic book references and stuff, where you have the inside track because you made the movie and you can catch up the audience and give them kind of a quick little intro, a little 2 minute, whatever it is and stuff of what, you know, what's, you know, the characters or what's this and what's that, or, you know, and don't, you don't have to ruin the plot or anything. You know, just a quick little catch people up and then boom, enjoy the ride. So, I don't think superhero fatigue is going to be a thing anytime soon. People are super excited. I mean, the Ant-Man pre-sales are through the roof. I guess we have frustrations with other properties like DC. some Sony stuff that's outside of Spider-Man, because Morbius. Was not that great.
I was like, don't you do my Mobius like that. Give that man his chest.
I love Mobius and Mobius. But Morbius and even Venom wasn't. I mean, the first Venom with Tom Hardy was really good. The second one was kind of received well, but people had some criticism. It was just a Sony thing and stuff. And so other superhero movies are kind of struggling a little bit.
I got a question for you guys. Do you think it's comic book movies that are have the fatigue or superhero fatigue? Or for Marvel, do you think it's storyline fatigue? Do you think that fans are tired of the almost predictable storyline? For instance, Thor, Love and Thunder, I was not a fan of. I started watching it, and the first 20 minutes in, I almost knew what I was going to get myself into.
So did you predicted the ending?
I didn't predict the ending, but
because I was like, I didn't predict that ending.
No, the comedy, the almost like dumbing down Thor in a way. Like, do you think fans are just kind of more tired of these almost like they're using the same game plan for movies, just stylizing it to that character? Like, it's the same format time after time. Do you think that's where the fatigue is coming from? That there's no real superhero movies where we're walking into and we're like, whoa. Like, for instance, Infinity War. When you saw them dust away, I walked out of there like mind blown. Like, hold on, what just happened? And I feel like some of these movies that we're getting don't have that. I mean, Wanda went bad and then kind of good in the same film. There was no drawing that out.
She didn't go good.
I'm gonna leave that where it's at.
She opted to protect her family. She was, but I'm gonna say that I hear what you're saying. I wasn't a fan of Thor only for two reasons for me. And I try to have measured expectations because I used to read the comic books a lot and stuff. So I was super excited to see Gore the God Butcher and the fact that we had Christian Bale playing that character. That dude is a badass character, and they just dropped the ball with him. Like, he really, I mean, he wasn't even on Hela's tier. Like, we know more about her story just in the quick brief of them, you know, doing the arc walls and stuff, explaining her, than really the motivation for God, for Gore, was, yeah, the gods weren't there to save his people and his daughter died and everything else, but they really could have went into that pain and stuff. But the God Butcher was being gods we didn't care about. We never saw them really in the MCU. They weren't really pulling at our. And so even when the kids that were kidnapped are and stuff, I had no connection and tie to that. Like, he wasn't on that Thanos or even Killmonger level of a villain. And I think they dropped the ball on that. And then the second reason was Thor himself. They went to. There is such a thing going too cartoony. Thor was a frat boy in this thing. They tried to, like, hey, it's like he was watching Deadpool movies. And it's like, I can do that. I'm a god. I can do the splits and stop two things and be a buffoon and accidentally destroy an entire city palace and just like, oops, and just move on to the next thing and party with my bros on the Guardians of the Galaxy. And they went way off script, in my opinion, on Thor's character development and stuff. And so that, for those two reasons alone, was the reason why I wasn't feeling the movie.
And you bring up a good point with Gore not really building that. I mean, look at Namor in Wakanda Forever. Yeah. They built that character up. They showed us. They gave us something where you're finding yourself in the movie either relating with him or not relating with him and stuff like that. One second. So then you have that, and then you go Killmonger, another Coogler setup where it was just amazing. But then you go to villains that were really, let's go to Ultron, that really have some weight in Marvel and aren't doing anything. One second.
Absolutely. Absolutely. One dimensional character builds really is just kind of a sour selling point for me and stuff. So they could have done so much more with that. I was prepared to take the ride. I was super excited. I love the actor who they picked, and it was on when we did our list. It was on the bottom of my list, just for those two reasons alone. Sam,
you guys pretty much covered it. It's, you guys ready to hop into our game?
We've already let's jump into
42 minutes.
Yes, we so that's it. It's pretty light.
It's late here in Sam-ville.
It is late. So let's jump into the most popular game that we have on the Marvel Tribe. It's probably one of the only games we have.
We need some more Marvel games.
This game is called 2 Degrees of Separation from Marvel. And basically how this game is played is for those who are familiar with Six Degrees of Separation of Kevin Bacon, which is an old school movie game where Kevin Bacon was such a huge movie star that you can connect any actor, actress to Kevin Bacon within six movies. That's how that was. Now, Marvel is the new kid on the block, relatively speaking, and they're such a big juggernaut that we really think you can connect at any star, any actor, actress out there within two to three. If you're three, then, you know, I don't think that exists, but at least two movies of separation to a Marvel movie. So we're going to play this game. I gave everyone the list of the actors and actresses' names, just so they can kind of think and reminisce and kind of, you know, marinate.
There were some good ones on the list that I was not expecting.
Absolutely. And we're going to add, in the future, we're going to add some twists to this game, but we'll talk about that later and stuff when we reintroduce the game. But for now, we're just going to go down the line, and I'm going to say the actor, and I'm going to have them give me their number. How many separations did they get to a Marvel movie with this actor? And we'll see who comes out winner at the end when we knock these out. So let's get started. So number one is the world's greatest Bond actor there is, Mr. Daniel Craig. And let's start with Lewis. How many connections did you get, separations?
I got Daniel Craig in one.
Ooh,
Dave Bautista in The Glass Onion.
Oh, good one.
What about you, Sam?
I had Daniel Craig with Jeffrey Wright in Casino Royale, and Jeffrey Wright voiced the Watcher in What If.
Watcher, yes. Casino Royale, that was a good one. And I, too, have Daniel Craig in one with Glass Onion that recently released on Netflix, so check it out with Dave Bautista, Mr. Drax himself. All right, so the next one is Jessica Chastain. Sam, let's go with you first.
I got it in one.
Did you really?
Jessica Chastain was in Zero Dark Thirty with Chris Pratt.
I knew you were going to say that one. Did you get that too, Lewis?
Yeah.
Yep, same here. All three of us. That is a three-peat Zero Dark Thirty with Star-Lord himself, Chris Pratt. I'm going to have to pick better names, but let's go.
No, there's next. Some of them were hard. Some of these are hard. Most of them I got in one, though, I'll be honest.
All right. How about Matthew McConaughey? What'd you guys got on that?
I have one.
Let me see if it's the same one I got.
He was in Sing 2 with ScarJo.
No, I did not get that one. What about you, Lewis?
I got him with one with Idris Elba, who played, like the name, Thor. He's in Thor, but they were in the Dark Tower together.
Hemdale,
that's right.
Yes. All right. So I would say this officially. We all got Matthew McConaughey in one with three different movies, because I got him in one with the movie A Time to Kill with Mr. Nick Fury, Sam Jackson himself. So
yes.
Three different movies, right?
I love that Heimdall Guardian one. Love that.
All right, Mr. Joaquin Phoenix, aka the Joker over in DC. What do you guys got for that one?
I have two.
Okay. Go ahead. What you got?
Joaquin Phoenix was in Walk the Line with Reese Witherspoon, who was in Sing 2 with ScarJo.
Ah, okay. Oh, you used a repeat. Okay.
Oh, I did use ScarJo a couple times in Sing. Also. Listen, I did this like 30 minutes, the whole list, like 30 minutes before we recorded.
I'm making these too easy. All right.
I got Joaquin Phoenix in one with Scarlett Johansson in Her.
Oh, that's right. He was in that weird in love with his robot or phone or whatever that was. Yeah, I didn't finish watching that. So I don't know how that did he get electrocuted in the end? Don't answer that. Don't spoil it.
Don't answer that.
So I got it in one, and me, I'm going old school. So I got Joaquin Phoenix in Gladiator with Russell Crowe, who is Zeus in Thor.
Nice. That's a good one. I like that one.
All right. So here is my – this is a hard pitch right here. This actor, also known as today's TV – host of Family Feud,
Steve Harvey. Most.
hostess with the mostest, Steve Harvey. What did you guys get for Steve Harvey?
Steve Harvey was in Think Like a Man with Kevin Hart, who was in Secret Life of Pets with Michael Beatty, who voiced a Marvel video game. Does that count?
That does not count. That's not MCU.
Oh, I didn't realize we were doing MCU. I thought we were doing Marvel property. That's okay.
That's all right. It was a good try, though.
Steve Harvey was a really hard one.
He is for me. Oh yeah, Steve Harvey was. I didn't get anything for Steve Harvey. I was really digging, and I was like, I can't get nothing. But yeah, I have a zero for Steve Harvey.
Wow, I'm the only one that was Steve Harvey. I got him in two.
Oh, so, la-di-da, good for you.
Here it is. And I've seen both of these movies. So Steve Harvey was in the Johnson Family Vacation with Aquaman himself, Jason Momoa.
That's right. The casino.
Yes, that's the casino. And Jason Momoa was in Dune with Oscar Isaac, who plays Moon Knight. So yes,
slick.
God, I wish we had a soundboard. I want applause and stuff here. Yeah. All right, got him in two. All right, next one. Why you look so mad? You look pissed off, Sam.
No, I'm just disappointed because I didn't realize my video game wasn't going to count. Actually, I kind of knew, but I was so frustrated. I was so frustrated at trying to figure out one for Steve Harvey that I just put the video game in.
All right. Next one up is Mr. Theo Huxtable from The Cosby Show, Malcolm Jamal Warner. What did you guys get on that one?
I had to Google his name because I was like, who is that? And I got him. I got him in one.
Ooh, okay.
You got him in two?
Mm-hmm.
So I got him in I got him in two. With Matthew McConaughey, which then brings me back to the Idris Elba Dark Tower.
That's what I did. I have him in Fool's Gold with Matthew McConaughey. And then I took him. Matthew McConaughey was with ScarJo in Sing.
Nice. Okay. Well, I got him in one. He was in a movie called Tyson with Clark Gregg, who is Agent Phil Coulson.
But I thought we weren't including the CW show.
Agent Phil Coulson is...
Oh, never mind. Duh.
He's in several Marvel movies. But
that was the stupidest thing. I think
when you were asking, I'm like, is she... Oh, yep. Right.
It's all good. It's all good. It's all love here.
Oh, my gosh.
One I had a hard time with. I was actually... debating on taking him off. But this next one, actor here, a very popular actor here, old school actor, Tony Danza.
Got him in one.
So, you got him in one? You got him in one, too? Okay.
He was in Don John with ScarJo.
I got him in one, too, as well. But I got him with Don John, because you know who else was in Don John was Brie Larson, who was Captain Marvel. So we got the same movie, right? Don John for everybody?
Okay. That movie was a trip.
I've never seen that movie, so I'm gonna be honest. That's why I had a hard time with that one, but then I found Don John. I'm like, oh, okay.
I'm still stuck on my Phil Coulson comment. Like, what the heck?
Everyone got it, but now that you keep bringing it back up, we'll have to bring it back up on the Wednesday show.
No, that's fine. You can bring it up because, oh my goodness. I'm over all here right. Trying to find a way to disqualify David because he disqualified my video game.
It's all good. You're not going to disqualify me in my own game. You know, that's just not going to happen.
Bet.
So this next actress this next actress is actually one of my first childhood crushes.
Of course.
From Who the Boss fame, Alyssa Milano. Yeah, she was teen crush in the 80s and stuff. So how many did you guys get Alyssa Milano in?
One.
Oh, let's see if we all got her in one. Let's see if it's the same movie.
Hall Pass.
Hall Pass.
Oh, I was going to say, she's about to go buy a jet ski.
buy a man a jet ski.
Okay, we all got Hall Pass, and we all got Owen Wilson. Mr. Mobius M. Mobius from Loki. Okay, all right. We all were on the same page there. Here's another hard one here. Tyra Banks, supermodel extraordinaire.
Easy.
Wasn't really much of a crush because she had a big forehead, but she was. Oh my God.
What's wrong with big foreheads?
Nothing wrong with big foreheads. I have a big forehead myself, so big forehead gang.
Over here covering my forehead.
Nothing's wrong with big foreheads. All right, supermodel. She's a supermodel, so obviously there's nothing wrong with her forehead.
There's some things wrong with her personality, but that's for another show. I had her in one.
I had her in one as well.
She was in Tropic Thunder with Robert Downey Jr.
What? Wait, was she?
He was just a dude playing another dude.
She was not in Tropic Thunder.
She was.
Was she really? Okay.
If I'm not mistaken, she one of the interviewers when they like interview Jack Black.
Okay. She probably had a bit segment on there. That's why I don't remember. Okay. All right. Yeah, you guys got that in one. I got it in one too, but I got it. She was in Higher Learning with Lawrence Fishburne, who plays Bill Foster in Ant-Man and the Wasp. Mm-hmm. So, boom, got him in one. All right.
For a second there, I was like, Lawrence Fishburne was in. Oh, I was like, yep, there it is.
Yep. Giant man. All right. So next is a very famous reality celebrity, but he also acted in some movies, so he counts.
He also produced some movies.
Yeah, he did. So this is the famous Jeff Probst of Survivor fame, and I actually had two connections, but I'm gonna save that one for later. I'm not going to use that one because there's one from Survivor, which is weird, a reality show that actually connects him to the Marvel, but that's not what I got. But I got him in two. So what do you guys
got? I got him in two.
Okay.
Kiss Me with Zero. Jenna Fisher. Kiss Me with Jenna Fisher, who was in The Office with John Krasinski, who was Reed in Multiverse of Madness.
Okay. All right. That's a good one. And Lewis has zero, so all right, he's out of the lead here. I got him in two, so I got him. He was in Finder's Fee with Ryan Reynolds, who was Deadpool, but he was Deadpool with Josh Brolin, who is Thanos. So there's my two. So boom,
I like it.
All right, so I
like it a lot.
So we got two more, and then we can wrap this up. I don't know how to say his last name. Thomas, my kid told me about this person. Middleditch. Mm-hmm. I seen him around a lot of different stuff. Actually, when I Googled him and saw his face, I was like, okay, I recognize him a little bit and stuff here. So, Thomas Middleditch, what do you guys got? How many did you get?
I got him in one in tag with Mr. Hawkeye himself.
Huh. Jeremy Renner.
I abbreviated it, so I'm like, what the heck movie is this? Wolf of Wall Street. Okay, he was in Wolf of Wall Street with Matthew McConaughey, which then leads us back to ScarJo.
Okay, so you got him in two.
Two, yeah.
All right, and I got him in one. He was in The Bronze with Sebastian Stan, a.k.a. Bucky Barnes, a.k.a. The Winter Soldier. So that's another movie I didn't see. So I do like Lewis' twist on, if you haven't seen the movie, move on to another one and find that connection. But we'll use that for a future one. So the last but not least is Omar Epps. So Mr. Juice, you got the Juice fame with Tupac, and he's done a whole bunch of other stuff since. That's such an old movie. What do you guys got?
I did not get him. I didn't even realize he's on the list. I finished at Thomas Middleditch.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. So
okay.
I went back right now. As soon as you said we have one more, I was like, there was one more?
Yep. Can you think of anything off the top of your head?
Not off the top of my head, no.
All right.
I'm trying to put a name to the face, or the face to the name.
I looked at, I abbreviated again, and I can't remember.
He was in Juice, he was in Higher Learning, he was in Deep Cover, he was in The Disappeared, he was in quite a bit of shows. He was in Dracula 2000 with James Wood. He was in a few.
I have okay. So I have him in This Is Us with Lonnie Chavis, mm-hmm. who was in Kevin Hart's Guide to Black History.
And
that connects to Secret Life
of Pets.
Who was in Secret Life of Pets with him?
You were deep in the rabbit hole.
I can't remember who was in Secret Life of Pets with Kevin Hart.
Do 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 do.
I don't remember.
Are you Google searching right now?
Well, no, because I'm looking at my notes here, and
I am.
I just put Secret Life with ADFJO.
Was Robert Downey Jr. in Secret Life with Pets? Oh. All right. Well, I did it.
You won that one. Yeah.
So Omar Epps was in Alfie with Jude Law. And Jude Law played Yong Ra, the Kree warrior in Captain Marvel. So,
yeah.
Antagonist.
That was a good one.
All right. So final score is, I didn't really keep tally.
Doesn't matter. It's all love here.
I won.
I'm missing four, so I'm already out.
David was disqualified. For those of you who can't see, I just removed him from the stream, so he's disqualified. Just kidding. Welcome back.
That's some sore loser shit right there.
It is not. I said the points don't matter.
Kicked me off the podcast.
It is all love. You know I love removing you.
Fans want to know who won too. So
the fans know you always win.
I didn't win last time. You guys got something. I was like two connection one. Yeah, when you, I think you or Brianna or Lewis won. So I don't always win.
All right, Blurred Hulk, let's take us out.
All right. So my Marvel tribe peeps and peepettes, I do want to tell you, we are truly, truly blessed to have you guys as our fans. This show is one of the fastest and quickest download shows we have in the Waltz Apartment family. But check out us. You can see us in our faces on our lives on Wednesday. Before I actually sign off here, I do want to have Sam make a quick announcement about our Patreon.
Yeah.
Because it's just another way you can kind of help support our show, helps us kind of pay the bills and help us deliver really fresh content to you guys. So Sam, take it away and then I'll close us out.
So we would be super excited if anybody who hasn't joined our Patreon yet were to join. There are a few different price tiers. You can just find it at Waltz Apartment, a Disney podcast on Patreon, or you can check our Waltz Apartment podcast Instagram link. There are a few different options. You get access to a Discord. You get access to some pretty cool Sunken City Designs posters. You get stickers, some really exclusive like interview access, so you get to sit behind the scenes
for some
of our exclusive interviews, and put like in this private chat that we have, you would be able to put questions that we could ask during live timing for the interviews. That's super exciting because we've got some really high profile interviews coming up for Waltz Apartment Podcast. So join our Patreon. The links are over on Instagram, or you can go to Patreon and then look at Waltz Apartment, a Disney podcast. Choose the tier that's right for you. Come play with us in Discord. We are in there all day chatting, sharing news, tormenting each other with love, of course. So, and you get sneak peeks of some of the cool things that Lewis is working on. So go join the Patreon.
So with that said, I just want to thank you guys so much for keeping us relevant and stuff, and we'll bring more content to you, and we can't wait for Ant-Man, and we'll break that down when we get the first chance too. And with that, Marvel Tribe
out.
Marvel Tribe.